Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning are two guests from far away who are here visiting in Alaska. We've got David and Fritz from Kentucky, right?
Yes. Right.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for being here.
Good morning.
So how did we get these guys from Kentucky on the radio in Alaska this morning? It's kind of a, I was trying to piece together the story this morning as I was thinking about it. How did this end up happening? And what I can recall is the Kentucky Farm Bureau organization was putting together a tour to come to Alaska, and somebody told them to contact me, and then we started talking, and I said, well, I've got this radio show while you're here. Let's get somebody on the radio to talk about why you're here and what you do in Kentucky, et cetera, et cetera. Is that kind of how it happened on your end?
That's how it happened. We do a roadside farm market tour every year,
okay.
Two or three years ago, we discussed about trying to come to Alaska.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Here you are. Very good. Well, I always like to start my show by asking folks their connection to Alaska agriculture. Obviously, neither of you are directly connected to Alaska agriculture, although you've been on this phenomenal tour. But let's talk a little bit about your agriculture backgrounds back in Kentucky. So, David, let's start with you. Tell me about your agriculture roots.
Well, I have been a tobacco farmer all my life.
Okay.
But a few years ago, tobacco has went by the wayside,
yeah.
So I have converted over to produce
okay.
and flowers. So,
okay.
And of course, I have everything. I have cattle, and I have soybeans, and I'm very diversified.
Okay.
So, enjoyed getting into the produce production, and we come up here, and we're trying to see if there's anything that we could find up here that we might work back in Kentucky.
Yeah, take it back home. Okay. And so when you say you were a tobacco farmer all your life before you transitioned, so did you always know that you were going to be a farmer? Or you come from a long line of farmers?
Yes,
is this what you always knew you were going to do?
My grandfather was a farmer,
okay.
and my dad was a farmer,
okay.
so we that's what we've done all of our lives.
Deep roots, very good.
Deep roots.
Okay. And Fritz, what about you?
Well, I'm a second generation farmer, so
right.
But I do cattle, hay. Used to do tobacco, and I've diversified out. I have a small orchard,
okay.
peaches and apples.
Oh, okay.
And
did you bring any with you?
No.
Those would have been popular up here, huh?
We lost our peach crop this year.
Oh, no.
Two late freezes. We've got blanks on our peach trees, but
oh.
we have a really good apple crop. So.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. And same thing, you always knew you wanted to be a farmer?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. So I really love it. And to be a part of the Farm Bureau family that Dave and I always talk about in Kentucky is our Farm Bureau family. It's we get together, we get to learn, and we also get to voice what we want in legislative action
right.
for our members. So David's a state director too, and
okay.
So that's a big part of what we do with our organization, beside getting to go around and see what other people we can learn from other people. And you have a lot of entrepreneurs up here.
We do.
We
yeah.
really do.
Sure
and
do.
Impressed with the difficulties they have and all that they're working for, and I commend them for their research and development
yeah.
that they've already got going.
It's an interesting place, isn't it?
Sure is.
I'm sure
you guys have seen you've seen a couple different parts of the state, and you're headed out to see some more, I understand. But
mm-hmm.
let's talk about that a little bit. Where have you been so far?
Yeah.
You started up in
we flew into Fairbanks,
right?
And then we worked our way to Denali.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you went through Delta Junction, right? Already.
Mm-hmm. We
yep.
were Delta Junction.
Yep.
And then we brought the train in
yeah.
to Anchorage.
Yeah.
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 What a fun I mean, you're getting
yeah.
to see quite a bit,
oh,
right?
Right?
And
right.
today you spent all day touring around Palmer.
Palmer.
So tell us
yeah.
what you've seen so far in Palmer.
Well, we went to a vegetable farm. And,
you went to Vanderweil's farm,
Vanderweil's
right?
farm.
The most
very impressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of experience. And, I mean, you could sit and talk to him for hours
yeah.
on about
exact.
Vegetables. And, of course, like I say, I've only been doing the vegetables now for about 7 years. And I feel like I could really learn a lot from him.
yeah. I think anyone who has spent even a couple of minutes with Mr. Vanderweil feels that way. Like, oh, I just want more time with him, right? Just to be clear, he's a friend of the organization with Farmland Trust. He's on our board of directors. He was a founding member of Alaska Farmland Trust. And he was on the radio show just a couple of months ago because we have an event every year in his greenhouse that's a fundraiser for Farmland Trust. So our listeners are pretty familiar with Vanderweel Farm, as is anyone who lives in Palmer and eats in Palmer. They know that farm. So we started there this morning. And then where'd you head?
Well, we went out then to the Musk Ox Farm.
Yeah.
And we've been there. And then what was the other stop?
Well, we ate lunch at the Natural Resource.
Yep, the Plant Material Center. Right?
Yep. And really got a lot of information about your state government, how it works down. And that was very interesting. And that they actually serve under the Commissioner of Agriculture, the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
So that was it was very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think of those musk ox?
They were a different animal. They were very interesting, though, and I didn't know that about their fur or
the cubit,
and it was really interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Some of them, though, I don't know if I'd want to go in the pen with them like they do.
No, I absolutely don't want to. Yeah. Yeah, no, they. I have seen them move pretty fast. That's also another organization that we're very familiar with. That's one of our permanently protected farms there. We've placed a conservation easement on that farm. And Mark, the director there, and I have an annual event called Oxtoberfest. I'm not sure if you mentioned that, but we have a big party the first Saturday in October, we like to call it. And one year we had a TV crew out there with us. We were promoting the event, and I can't remember if it was my hat or something fell off. Yeah, I think it was my hat. It was a windy day, and I kind of leaned over to get my hat, and Mark was like, Amy, stand up. He goes, never bend over in front of a muskox. They think you're ready to go to battle.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
We got to see one charge a little bit.
Did you?
It didn't come all the way.
Yeah. They're pretty impressive animals, and that's a neat experience that you got to be up that close to them because, like I said, there's nothing like that down in Kentucky, right?
No.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No.
They're a little bit different than those cattle that run on your place.
Nah.
Yeah. And after Palmer, where are you headed? You're headed to the Kenai Peninsula, is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's where we're headed next.
You're going to go see some peony operations, right? Some flower farms.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of farmers markets along the way. I was looking at your itinerary.
Right.
And the Wildlife Conservation Center, right? You're going to stop there.
Yeah, we're going to stop there.
Yeah, and that'll be a neat experience as well. You'll see a bunch of animals and all sorts of things that I think everyone comes to Alaska hoping to see a brown bear and a black bear and a caribou and all those things. And you'll get that opportunity there at AWCC. So that's good.
Right.
Very good.
True.
Yeah.
Boy, I haven't seen any tomato production yet.
Oh, okay.
And I don't, you know, I didn't get to ask the Van Waller about the, you know, if they do tomato production, but I never did see anything, so I guess not.
Yeah, no, they don't grow tomatoes there at Vanderweel's. They grow a few potted tomato plants, but that's not part of their mass production. I think, if I'm remembering correctly, tomorrow morning you're going to hit the South Anchorage Farmers Market before you head south, right?
Right.
And you'll see there'll be definitely some vendors there that do grow tomatoes.
They're all grown
in hothouses, of course, here.
Right.
And hopefully you'll get a chance to eat one because as I'm sure you've heard from many of the producers, everything here's sweeter, right? And those tomatoes that are grown up here are sure tasty.
That tomatoes are my specialty.
Oh, okay.
I grow, but they're hothouse tomatoes inside. And I grow about 50,000 pounds a year of the tomatoes.
That's serious tomato production.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be Alaska berries.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're going to Alaska Berries. That's our only all Alaskan-grown winery in the state.
Great.
So all of the wines that are produced
Ridgeway Farm. All of
the wines that are produced there are made from the berries grown on that farm. And it's the only certified Alaska-grown winery in the state. So that's kind of a big deal.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, Brian and Lori Olson, they're really great folks. You're going to enjoy that stop a lot.
Right.
Great.
Yeah. They have some great syrups and sauces and not just the wine. They're doing quite a bit of value-added products there, so that'll be a great stop. And Ridgeway is that a farm. I can't remember if that's a vegetable farm or It's escaping me right now. But anyway, quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning are two guests from the Kentucky Farm Bureau, David and Fritz, who are up here on an Alaska farm tour, and we're just talking about where you've been and where you're headed. Is this something that the Farm Bureau, you mentioned that you do these trips kind of regularly, so tell us some of the other places that you've been in previous years.
Well, we've been into Canada.
Okay.
We have all up northeast, you
okay.
know, and we've been to, you know,
California.
We've been to California,
yeah.
Oregon.
Yeah.
Been to several places.
Yeah,
you know,
and they're all set up kind of as informational tours, like you're trying to learn something on these tours,
yeah,
right? It's not just a junket, right?
Oh, no. No, it's set up. We want to network with the people we meet with because
sure.
we want to, you know, bounce ideas back and forth.
Yeah.
David's committee's real good about that.
Good.
We went
yeah.
through the Chesapeake Bay area because of the water problems that they were having, you know, with
sure.
the nitrates in the water.
Yeah.
And they was trying to blame it on the farmers.
Yeah.
And we also took this back to our state, created a water committee, and have been working to, you know, be a step ahead of that kind of a problem in our state.
Yeah,
so.
Very good.
We have so much pass-through water, whereas y'all get your snow and
right.
stuff. And we're trying to capture that for a later date for a lot of people that are in David's business, that because we're roughly what about 40 some inches a year?
Yeah, okay. 44 inches a
yeah,
year.
We're y'all okay. like 10 or 12.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And but we don't we need it at the right time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like you all do,
all
but
right.
y'all flip a switch.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit about the season. So it's mid-June here, and for our farmers, unfortunately, it was a very late spring. And I would say, I don't know if Ben said this morning, but a while ago he was saying everything was about 2 weeks behind. Is
yeah.
that still the number he's saying?
And yeah. we're theoretically almost 2 to 3 weeks behind,
yep.
too.
Okay,
yep.
that was going to be my question.
Exactly the
cool,
same.
Wet spring, too.
Okay,
yep.
all right. Mm-hmm. Except, in theory, you guys have a lot more time on the other end, right?
We do.
Your,
yes.
your growing season is going to go into
yep.
late October, or?
I sell tomatoes all the way into January.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
So, but now I extend it longer, you know, with the hot
sure,
houses
Sure, with
and
the high
stuff.
Tunnels, yep.
But normal end of the season, you know, about November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can... You know, you get into the big crops. We can run corn in Kentucky. We can plant it up to 28th day of June before we switch to beans.
Wow,
beans,
okay.
they'll go mid to late July and still
produce. Yeah,
y'all really are stuck on dates.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were surprised how close they were and
right.
You know how a snow or something can really affect y'all early.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah,
when you only have 100 to 110 day growing season,
yeah.
you know, you lose 10 or 15 days on the front end of that, and it can really have a big impact.
It really intrigues me on how close it is and how y'all are able to, you know, produce these crops, you know, in that shorter period.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. It is. It's very impressive. You know, I think I mentioned to you guys on the way over here that I come from a farming family in Oregon, beef cattle and hay crops. And I married into this farm family here in Alaska. And I remember the first time I came up here to visit and saw the way that they were putting up hay and some of the battles that they were. And I just thought, my God, it's hard enough to be a farmer in Oregon or in the great, you know, in the lower 48. I can't imagine trying to make your living off farming up here, right?
Right.
A little bit about Kentucky. We are the largest state east of the Mississippi for mama cows.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very
so
good.
So that's a little bit. And
yeah.
We're about 14th in corn production.
Okay.
So, and,
very good. I was going to ask that. I didn't know if it was a fair or unfair question, but I tend to ask my guests unfair questions all the time. Do you know what the number is? How many farm families or how many farmers are in the state of Kentucky?
We have a lot of small farmers.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we're around 68,000.
Okay.
Now,
right.
does that sound right,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We were, as David said, back whenever we had, we're very heavy in tobacco, we had 125,000.
Wow. Okay.
So.
That's a lot compared
that's
to.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have they told you our numbers? How many farmers we have in this great state?
I can imagine,
yeah.
but we don't have the exact numbers.
Yeah, well, it's less than 1,000.
Yeah,
it's less than 1,000 farms in the state. But it's growing. That's one of the things that we're real proud of in Alaska. I'm not sure if anybody's talked about that, but our numbers are going up.
And what has probably grown our numbers as much as anything is what David does and the organization. When we started this roadside market, we started out with 35 farmers.
Yeah. Okay.
What is it, 300 and some now?
Yeah, 300 and some now.
Oh, okay. So when you mentioned that, paint a picture for us a little bit. Are we talking about like a normal farmer's market that we might see here in Alaska? Is it a covered building, or what does your roadside market look like?
Most of them in our state are covered.
Okay.
You know, and there are some still are on the courthouse square with the tents.
Okay. Not
a lot. I think we've got 118 farmers markets out of 120 counties. I think we've got that many doing them now.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
It's really growing.
Yeah.
But our Commissioner of Agriculture has jumped on board and is really pushing, you know, and helping. So
promote
the Kentucky
it.
Department of Agriculture is really working toward this.
We've had two in a row that have supported us. It's like a glove.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they feel like
good,
a glove
it?
For us. I mean, yeah, we've been blessed, I tell you.
It makes a huge difference.
But, I mean, how many of your tomatoes you sell right off the farm?
Oh, I sell 90% of them right off the farm.
That's our goal, is
right
to sell right
yard.
Off the farm.
Sure, yeah.
Right off the farm, and then what you
what you have to take to market.
Yeah.
But that the big thing about selling on the farm is you get those kids.
The whole dollar.
You get those ladies, the whole family a lot of times, to be on your farm to hear the story about agriculture.
Yeah.
That they don't have a clue about.
Absolutely. Right? It's so critical.
Chocolate milk doesn't come from brown cows. I mean, it really doesn't.
Right, yeah. Well, and that's the whole reason I think I was telling you guys as we came in, that's the whole reason we do this show, Ag Matters Radio, is to tell these stories and give people that connection to agriculture that a lot of people don't have anymore.
And most of the people are hungry to hear that
they
story.
They are, yeah.
Of
yeah.
Our
your livelihood
customers.
And what you do and why you do it.
We have a really large... department in our Farm Bureau that's what they do is they work
on the storytelling.
We're in those classrooms.
Yeah,
it's really neat what you can do whenever you get in the classroom and and you see those eyes just go wide open whenever you start talking about
absolutely.
You know, what we do.
Connecting with those kids about where their food comes from is not only it's fun to see that spark in their eye and to see the connections being made, but then you know that those are the grocery shoppers of the future, right? If you start to teach those kids to care about where their food comes from, they take it home.
I've heard up here a lot about food security
for you all. It's a big issue. Yeah.
And, you know, where you grow your own food and it doesn't have to come in on a truck or a ship or rail or whatever.
You know how long it takes to get here now, right?
We know how long.
And we flew. We didn't drive.
Right. You didn't come on the back of a semi.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you all are on the right track. I commend you for all that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and Alaskans I have found in my 10, 12 years of living here that they're really proud about being Alaskan and therefore are really proud about connecting with their food. And, you know, a lot of it's about subsistence hunting and fishing and gathering of their own foods. Every Alaskan seems to want to tell you about what they caught or hunt or grew themselves. But then for the products that they can't do that, they're really proud of those connections they have to the farm families. I'm the same way. I like to be able to brag to people, well, this came from so-and-so farmer and that came from so-and-so farmer. And there's a lot of passion.
We're the
and
same
pride
way.
In that. Yeah, I bet. Yep. So going back to your the growth in farmers markets in Kentucky, but you mentioned that you sell the majority of those tomatoes right from the farm. So do you have a farm stand or certain hours a day that you're open, or do you have a big warehouse? Kind of paint a picture for us.
Well, I just got a small building out to the end of the house and with a sign down by the road, Kentucky Proud.
Oh, yeah, Kentucky
sign
Proud.
Plus
yep.
a Kentucky Farm Bureau roadside farm market stand.
Okay. Yep.
And certification, in which that, you know, we bank on that, you know, people understand it is good products, and, you know, we're certified, being able to grow these. And then we just got a building there, and we put our products in it, and we talk to the people that come in. So, you know, we'd like to know where they come from, you know, and I've sold and shipped stuff, you know, to California. I've had stuff go to Michigan.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we have a lot of people. I'm on the main corridor, 127 corridor, that goes through Kentucky, and I have a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And it's worked really well. I thought about this when I bought this property. That was what I was aiming to do.
Yeah.
So. And then I also do flyers.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got 1,500 mums down by the roadside, so it catches everybody's eye every time they go by, you know.
Very good. Very good. That's great.
You know, to piggyback on that just a little, through David's chairmanship with our committee, you all do a lot of advertising through your committee as a roadside market group with Kentucky Farm Bureau.
Okay.
Our organization takes the lead on getting some of that that material out. But, you know, there's maps printed up of Kentucky with the locations on them, contact numbers and everything. So, you know, there's a lot of people know exactly where that farm is that are interested in coming to a roadside market just through our organization and through their work of dispersing that information out through the state of Kentucky.
And these are all put out at the welcome centers.
Sure.
Anywhere you enter, these brochures are at that welcome center.
Very good. And,
working with our state department on that. Commissioner.
Yep. Well, another interruption real quick to remind listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning are two farmers from the great state of Kentucky. We've got David and Fritz, and we're just talking about your operations a little bit and what you've seen as you've been in Alaska so far. I'm trying to think of some of the differences between farming in Kentucky and farming in Alaska. We've talked a little bit about the weather. Is there a big push for organics in Kentucky? Are more and more people looking for that organic label down there?
We've got David can give you his opinion too.
But sure.
I mean, there's a niche market there for it.
Yeah.
We as an organization, we're focused on everybody producing what they want to, and not trying to get into the dispute of whether one is better than the other,
because
we have to feed the world
as
a nation. And so that's where we try and stay mainstream. And everybody, just your niche is to whether you've got a roadside market, you're into the local movement.
Mm-hmm.
We support all of it.
Yeah.
We support all of it. So.
Yeah.
At our farmers market, we have two or three that does organic, and you know they have certain customers that come to them, and then you got some that'll buy from them, buy from me. They just buy from everybody, you know. So it's a niche market there. Now there is some people that comes through that are say from Cincinnati, Ohio, or somewhere like that. They're looking for organic,
You
know, and I have that at my stand. They'll come through and they want to know, you know, did I use this or do I use that? So, and I explain to them, you know, and then sometimes I have to do a tour. I'll take them out to my greenhouses, and they'll be totally amazed at what we're doing.
Yeah.
I bet he sells them some before they leave.
Oh yes, I sell them some before they leave. Yes.
Yeah. So another unfair question, David, but it just popped into my mind since you said you were a tobacco farmer for so long. Are there organic tobacco farms? Is there any organic?
Yes.
Are there organic?
Yeah, there are organic tobacco farms.
I was thinking about
farms.
That. Of all the labels you see surrounding things, I thought, man, are there organic cigarettes? Is that really a thing?
It's still kind of in its infancy, isn't it?
Well, it's in its infancy.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of fading away, too.
Yeah.
Because
it's hard to make it, you know, doing it organically.
Sure,
you know,
I bet.
It requires a lot of fertility and stuff like that to raise organic tobacco.
I bet.
And we hadn't mentioned it, but we've got wineries that are in our state that are part of our roadside market tour, too, that they're diversified in it. So just like the one we're going to visit.
Yeah, Alaska Berries. Yep, very good. Yeah, well, that's such a fun thing. You know, people, you don't think about, of course, grape production is, it actually is happening. I don't think I don't think P&M Gardens made your list. I know that was one of the big operations that you guys were hoping to see in Anchorage, but I don't think it came together. But Mike Mosession, he's one of the largest tomato producers in the state. You'll see his tomatoes in the grocery stores. It's called Bell's Nursery. But he is also growing grapes in his high tunnels, and he's trying to get to, you know, like wine production and wine grape production under high tunnels here in Alaska. So we're crossing our fingers, you know, because it's always fun to see something new. But
that's true.
Yeah, but for now, that winery that you're going to go see, Alaska Berries, that's all other fruit wines, not grape wines. But it'll still be delicious, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Another thing I'm thinking about is differences between Kentucky and Alaska are pests. I'm sure, for example, when you were on Vanderweel's farm this morning, I don't know if you got to the pest question, but, you know, his number one pest
laid that completely out for us.
Moose, right? Did he talk about the threat of the moose on his farm?
Some.
Okay. Yeah.
Some. He was more talking about his pest management.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
And what he didn't do.
Yeah.
What he didn't have to do.
It's a completely different world.
To get fruits in Kentucky
with
the humidity, the 90 degrees Yeah. And the 90% humidity, we've got to use fungicides and we've got to use pesticides.
All the time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
All
it's
the time.
It's a different world.
David can, especially your tomatoes, I mean, that's one of the most vulnerable things on your fungicide program.
It is, but I have to say this year I've only had to spray one time so far. So,
one of the benefits to a cool late spring, I guess, huh?
Other thing, we had a cool winter.
We haven't had the humidity until the last week.
Okay.
And when the humidity hits, that's when it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, all the bugs come out then.
As long as you dry out during the day and get the dew off pretty quick, you don't have the fungicides problem that you do.
It's definitely one of the benefits of living and producing in Alaska. Our farmers have that short growing window and, all these other things that they have to contest with. But that our season certainly makes it so that we don't have to fight with some of those pests and diseases that you guys face all the time.
Right. But you've got to get it in a hurry.
Absolutely.
And we've got some of them. We've got to plan around our heat season.
Sure. Yeah.
Because,
avoiding it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So are you guys cold while you're up here? Does it feel pretty chilly to you? You got your jackets on all the time?
We're down in. We've got our jacket with us.
But it was a lot warmer at Denali than they predicted 5 or 6 days ago. So that was neat.
A blessing.
That was good.
Did you actually get to see the mountain? Was it out while you were there?
No, we didn't get to see it.
We got
totally.
Pieces of it.
Okay.
Pieces of it.
Okay.
We didn't see the top.
Well, you just have to come back.
Yeah. We will.
Right?
Yeah. This is my second trip up there.
And mine too.
Oh, okay. Very good.
But I didn't get to go this far inward that we've done.
I didn't either. Yeah.
I did one of the cruises and came into Anchorage.
Yeah. Well,
years ago.
People always ask me about those cruises, and I say, well, even Alaskans go on those cruises because it's a part of the state that you can't see any other way, and it's such a beautiful trip.
Oh,
it's so
beautiful.
Yeah. But nothing like these farms that you guys have been on.
Well, that's true.
Such a unique thing. When you were in Delta Junction, I forget what the itinerary was up there. I know that you went to Alaska Flower Company with Bryce Wrigley and his family, right?
Right, right.
Did you go to a cattle operation? Did you go to Muggeridge Hay and Cattle? Was that one of the farms you went to?
No, we didn't do that.
We didn't get
the Hollenbecks. Did you go to a bison operation while you were up there?
Well, we didn't actually go to it. We went by it.
You went by
and
it.
We didn't get to talk to anybody there.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
When we were talking about storytelling and about people wanting to connect with those farmers, I had reached out to one of those farmers up there in Delta Junction about being on the show, and he said, "Oh, Amy, nobody wants to hear what I have to say." And I said, "Yes, they do. People are not connected to agriculture the way they used to be. It's not the same as it was for them. I mean, he's like a sixth generation cattle operator, right? And so it's all he knows, and he doesn't think it's interesting to other people." And I said, "It's so interesting to other people.
Right.
We've got to tell these stories.
These people." These days, they don't know where their food comes from.
If we don't
tell our story ourselves, nobody's going to tell it for us.
Right. Or somebody tells it that doesn't know what they're talking about.
That's
the part I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really nice to be on Bryce's farm there at the Alaska Flower Company.
Yes.
That was so interesting to see how they would, they had reshaped that land into production.
Yeah.
And, I know it's taken a lot of years, but that was really cool to me.
Yes, it was.
Get to be with him and his son.
It's been great to watch that operation change over the last decade and to see what they've done in creating that value-added product. And now you can buy it statewide. It's in all the grocery stores, and it's a real success story.
He's shipping quite a bit to Kentucky.
Kentucky.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we gave a lot of orders.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, David and Fritz, our time has come to an end. The half an hour always buzzes by so fast, but I want to thank you for taking the time to come on Ag Matters this morning and chat with us about your adventure here in Alaska. So thank you so much for coming up on the tour and for being on the radio this morning.
Thank you for having us and letting us talk about Kentucky and what we've learned here. So.
You bet. We'll look you up when we head that way.
Good.
Thank you, and I've enjoyed it.
All right. Perfect.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.